Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Purple Daily is daily Vikings entertainment. We just want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die.
I will ride with this group.
Seriously, man. Please.
And away we go.
Now, I know that in these team-centric podcasts that we have at Score North, we have Purple Daily, Judd's Hockey Show, the Score North Twin Show, Flagger and Howls, that they can be, we tend to silo them off without a whole lot of overlap. You know, you come here, we know you come here for Vikings content, just like you go to Judd's Hockey Show for hockey content. But for the Venn diagram of people that are Vikings fans and Timberwolves fans, a cheap plug for the Flagger and Howls podcast, which is pretty much daily at this point, as the Timberwolves beat the absolute brakes off the Nuggets in Game 2 last night. Judd and I are up very late doing a live post-game show on the Score North YouTube channel, Flagger and Howls podcast feeds, Apple, Spotify. So if you are a Timberwolves fan who is also a Vikings fan and you are looking for some fun Timberwolves content, we'll have Michael Grady on the podcast today. Jim Peterson, both those guys are weekly. Jim Peterson later in the week, weekly guest throughout the postseason. So it's a fun place to party it up if you're a Timberwolves fan.
If and when, so the Wolves right now are 6-0 in the playoffs. If this continues, I feel like it could lead to actually help on this show for an exorcism of Minnesota sports demons too.
Does it open the gates for like two championships for the Vikings?
I just feel like the Wolves trepidation, it almost screams, I'm a Vikings fan too, and I just can't take this.
It's like the same level of angst and disbelief.
Yeah, the Wolves were up by 31, but can they hold this? And yeah, it's the same. So if the Wolves see this thing through, which I think is a possibility, I mean, they're playing unbelievable, but could it lead to an exorcism of all that ails us as far as almost not being able to enjoy what should be the most enjoyable thing?
Yeah. I mean, it's a great question. It does feel like some people are sending us notes that maybe the eclipse from a couple weeks ago has reset things in the Minnesota sports universe. And it gifted the Vikings this, wow, franchise leader in J.J. McCarthy, and Anthony Edwards is going to deliver for the Wolves. And I don't know, man. I don't know what the astrological signs are trying to tell us here, but damn it, we are due. 60-plus years for the Vikings. Timberwolves have never come anywhere close except for that one time in 2004. So, yeah, Flagger and Howls. Check it out if you are a Vikings fan who is also a Timberwolves fan. Okay, before we get to sort of a Kwesi Adofo-Mensah referendum, and what has sparked this conversation today is he is getting criticized in certain corners of the NFL internet for his, I guess you could use the word like mismanaging, potentially, if you believe that he did, mismanaging the Vikings draft pick stock in compensatory pick situation. So let's get into some of that after we shout out our friends at Finch Home Solutions here, Judd.
Yeah, let's show those vans, because right now what you are going to see is what Finch Home Solutions does every day. They do a team huddle. They say, break on three, let's go fix any electrical needs out there. And then they take their vans and they go throughout the metropolitan area to make sure that your home is safe and sound when it comes to electrical needs. Projects big or small, they are fast, they are courteous, they are outstanding. They love two things: making sure that your home is safe from an electrical standpoint, and also the Vikings upgrades to current systems, electrical servicing, storm damage, breakers tripping, anything that ails your home when it comes to that side of things, Finch Home Solutions is going to fix, and they're going to fix quickly. Specials include $199 whole home safety inspection, valued ordinarily at $357. I'm actually going to see Cody tomorrow, and we are going to talk about the purple and Finch Home Solutions. And I know what he's going to tell me is that whenever he gets a Score North, a fan that calls, that you guys are among the most loyal and smart that there is out there. 612-357-2604, FinchHomeSolutions.com. Never mind the train.
That's the Finch Home Solutions train coming down
Cody's
the tracks.
Like, screw this. The vans aren't good enough. I need to get there quicker. I'm coming down the tracks to fix anything wrong in your home. FinchHomeSolutions.com.
So, okay, NFL teams receive, I'm going to explain this because sometimes I think we're doing this show every day for years and years, and we get into some of the salary cap discussions and some of the nuances of like NFL front office business. And maybe we don't stop enough to explain if you're diving into that stuff as a fan for the first time. So I'm going to over explain this a little bit, and then we can discuss, did Kwesi screw this up? And then that can lead us into a general discussion about Kwesi. So NFL teams receive compensatory draft picks, or comp picks, if you will, when they lose free agents of a certain caliber in the offseason. So like, you could get anywhere from a third to a seventh round draft pick or more in compensation. And by the way, it applies to coaches. So if you lose, correct me if I'm wrong, but like if you lose a coordinator to a head coaching position, that also counts, doesn't it, in the compensatory draft pick formula?
I think they've changed a little bit, but I don't know how.
So we can...
I don't know exactly how.
I'm like 70% sure on the coach thing.
But it definitely involves players and, as you said, like where they're sort of slotted in as values.
Yep. So like Kirk Cousins and Danielle Hunter were two of the premium free agents on the market. And the formula, there's a bunch of different things that go into the formula for like outgoing value versus incoming value. But average annual value of contract is a huge, huge factor. So when you lose a free agent like Kirk Cousins that signs an average annual value contract of $45+ million a year, and Danielle Hunter, who was like 23, $25 million a year, the odds are in your favor that you're going to get some compensation back. So the Vikings were in line because they lost two top tier free agents to get two third round comp picks back in the formula. What happened though was the Vikings went and signed some lower level like Jonathan Greenard and Andrew Van Ginkle and Blake Cashman. So they start offsetting to a degree the formula that was going to land them two third round comp picks. And by signing Shaq Griffin to a one-year contract to come in and compete for a starting cornerback job, according to people that are doing the math on the comp picks, the Vikings went a little too far over the line, and now they only get one comp pick back, a third-round comp pick instead of two third-round comp picks if they hadn't signed Shaq Griffin. So I know that's way in the weeds, but was Shaq Griffin at 1 year to compete for a starting cornerback job essentially worth a third round pick in 2025? That's the question. People are hammering Kwesi for this.
On the surface, I think that the answer is no. But there's also our friend Tyler Fornes, who now covers the Vikings and the league for the Sporting News, wrote about this yesterday. And there's also a hypothesis that the Vikings thought that Dalton Risner would have signed during the compensatory pick time. That is now passed, like within the last week that passed. So if the Vikings were to go out and sign a player now, it has no bearing on the compensatory pick.
And it's likewise, if Risner were to sign somewhere else, you wouldn't then like get the math equation back on your side. Exactly. You can never count on Risner to sign before October. I don't know what the Vikings were thinking.
Yeah, and it's weird. But anyway, was it worth it on the surface to sign Shaq Griffin or not wait? In my opinion, no. Is it worth being royally upset and saying that Kwesi misjudged this and screwed it up beyond belief? No. I'm not that upset. I'm just not. I think among the things, now if the Vikings were a team that was at a different stage, if the Vikings right now were bad, so let's just say the team's not good, and you think, man, and I do not think that this team is bad. I don't think this team is great, but I don't think that they're bad. If you're bottom of the barrel, then this is a huge screw up, because then you're signing this veteran to bring into a team that isn't going to win a ton of games, which you technically really shouldn't be too upset about, and you cost yourself a third round pick. That's a major screw up. Do I think that there was a miscalculation here that probably, as Tyler alluded to, involved Dalton Risner? Yes, there probably was. Is this the type of thing that I'm going to call for a guy's head? This is a major problem. No, it's not. So yeah. I'm lukewarm on the, okay, now Kwesi's really done it. Sorry, Dex.
You're good. It's a third round comp pick. Like I don't think we should be absolutely pulling our hairs out. And I do get the fact that I almost said the Twins, the Vikings don't have as many picks for next year's draft, which, you know, from a roster building standpoint, potentially a problem. But I'm not going to lose sleep over the fact that, hey, they signed a veteran corner that, yeah, maybe they could have waited a little bit, but it's one of their weakest positions. And the price of that is losing out on a third round comp pick that, to me, it's not worth pulling your hair out of. If you're splitting hairs, I get it. But to me, I just can't get completely upset and get completely overreact to that fact. So it doesn't bug me as much.
So it does kind of bug me when put into greater context of like some of the other things that have happened in the last 3 years when it comes to draft pick or asset management. So for one, so as Judd said, and again, we're in the weeds on this, but there is a deadline and it passed within the last week of if you sign a player before that deadline, it impacts the math and the scale of the comp pick equation. So by signing Shaq Griffin a month ago or whatever it was, a month and a half ago, I think it was like a month ago. Okay, well, they locked him in as part of the equation, right? Now, is he still available? There's a lot of guys like Tyler Boyd is out there on the wide receiver front. There's some guys still out there. Right. If they had waited, would Shaq Griffin have been available? Probably not. They probably would have missed out on him. I understand wanting to put a competitive veteran quarterback, cornerback on the field to help your team be competitive and win games in 2024. But Xavien Howard is still a free agent, and he's been now medically cleared. I think there were some questions about injuries. He played at a high level in the Brian Flores system. He's right on that age cliff. He's not the same player he was a few years ago. But if you're asking me, would I rather have 1 year of Shaq Griffin, or would I rather have Xavien Howard after the deadline passes and keep my third-round comp pick for 2025? I think I'd rather have Xavien Howard. And like both of these guys, there's questions as to whether they can play at a high level as a starting cornerback, right? It's not like you signed a 27-year-old to a 4-year contract. But then when you put into context, let's go back like a few other instances. The 2022 draft, Kwesi traded back 20 spots in the first round and didn't get the Lions' first-round pick in 2023. And Judd, you hammered him for that in the moment and in the ensuing months. Okay. 2023 in season, Kirk Cousins tears his Achilles. The Vikings know that going forward, Kirk tears his Achilles, even though they were 500. The trade deadline's in like 2 days. Probably not going to go anywhere with Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall as quarterbacks, right?
Yep.
So they decided to hang on to Danielle Hunter at the trade deadline.
Yes.
Hoping that they could be competitive, I guess, and still maybe win the division, and or maybe Danielle Hunter would stay as a Viking. Well, none of those things happened, and he winds up leaving for the Texans. Of course, I think the Vikings have a better edge rusher room today than they did 6 months ago. So,
but okay. Still.
Yeah, like asset management.
That bugs me a lot more than this.
Yeah. And then in the 2024 draft, again, he got the quarterback that they think is going to lead them to the promised land. And they got one of the best defensive players in Dallas Turner. So I'm fine with it. But a lot of the draft value charts,
the draft value charts are going to tell you that if you do the math on this,
that Kwesi gave up a lot, like way too much to move up the board. So I don't like in a vacuum, any one of these you could make a case for, but I think overall he's been a little loose with draft capital since arriving in 2022. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think one, it's fair to say. And I think two, he has had the arc of his being loose or drafting to me has been weird because it's really changed. Like that first draft, it was Spielman-esque. I'm going to move back. I'm going to get a bunch of picks. And it was like he realized, and this wouldn't be a bad thing, you know what? Because I think that there's a certain philosophy out there that if I can accumulate picks, I got more chances to be right. But depending on how far back you go, your chances to be right grow far more difficult unless you have a hell of a personnel department. And so then it became like, okay, I'm going to trade picks, which I personally don't mind. But I'm with you. I think he's much more culpable when Cousins got hurt. That's why the GM and coach should never be the same guy. Because the GM, in my opinion, at that point, should never go to the locker room. Don't go talk to players. They're always going to tell you there's hope. That's their job. Like, you want them to say that, right? But you also want to know when common sense says, I need to ignore that noise. This, to me, is a misstep, but it's a small one. But the one thing that where I will defend Kwesi on this is we're also, like, somehow talking like, well, the Vikings only have X amount of picks for 25. What are you going to do? There's a lot of time to get more picks if that's what you desire.
Right, but, okay, I'll push back at your defense of Kwesi on this. Again, I think you can, like, poke at him for some of this without saying that it's, like, a wild failure. And we'll get to the second part of this discussion here in a second. But,
sure,
you know, again, if he nailed J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner, I don't think we're going to be sitting here in 5 years like, well, that third-round comp pick that they could have had right. in 2025.
Right.
But as we're talking about an imperfect roster that you're trying to build into something that can go back up and pass the Packers again and the Lions and contend for a Super Bowl, which they weren't close to last year, you're looking for assets. You're looking and the way that you get young, good players is through the draft, right? Day one and day two gives you the best chance to forget about sixth round picks and seventh. First, second and third round picks give you the best chance to build your roster. And I think it is fair to say by not trading Danielle Hunter, when you, in your heart of hearts, knew that the season was pretty much cooked at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Well, Montez Sweat garnered a second round pick in that trade.
I'm totally with you on this too.
Danielle Hunter probably gets a second round pick from somebody, Jaguars, somebody.
We're in lockstep there.
And so you passed up a second round pick to hope for a playoff run, maybe hope to keep, I don't know, the relationship on good terms with Danielle. So maybe he'd resign again. Like, you passed on probably a second round pick, maybe a late first round pick for that. Yep. And then you decided Shaq Griffin was worth a future third round comp pick in terms of the math equation, right? Like, would you rather have the second and the third round pick and maybe take a flyer on Xavien Howard after the deadline? So I think there's fair criticism here. That's all I'm saying.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
My personal scale is this. On the Hunter decision, given the, in some ways, unfortunately for him, perfect timing of Kirk being hurt, because it came like literally on the deadline. Yeah. So like you had this by the grace of God.
And you weren't waiting on like, oh, is it going to be 6 weeks and he might come back? No, he's out.
And by the grace of God, it's a message. Bail. God is literally like, hey, bail on the season. I'm helping you out here.
Yeah.
That to me is a pretty egregious mistake. The Shaquille, the Shaq Griffin thing, I think is a misstep. And clearly if you thought that Risner was going to sign by now, you were wrong. So yes, I think it goes in the bags of things that are somewhat concerning, but I can only work up so much like outrage about that. Like it's a mistake, but again, you can get more picks too. Like there are trades you can make. You can do things depending on how things fall. But I would like to see in the later rounds, because I liked the first round and I didn't mind the trades. I mean, if you truly got two impact players at key spots, I'm not going to bitch about that. But I would like to see going forward more of a draft strategy that I guess I can get my head around consistently. You know, the first draft, I hated what he did, and it was like, really? The second
what
draft,
do you mean? What do you mean? Like, I mean, there's the value of the trades, and I get that, but
right.
Are you saying that you want him to do the same type of thing in every draft? So you like, what do you?
I'd like to be able to figure out what his strategy is. Like, I didn't like it necessarily, but with Spielman, I knew exactly what his strategy was. With Crazy, it feels like at times he's being pushed by different people, so he's changing how he does things, from trading back to now trading up. And I don't see a real consistency there. But again, with him, the difference is this too. He's not a football guy. So he is taking, and he needs to, and I guess this is the sticky wicket. He's taking suggestions and he's taking information from a lot of different sources. You know, Rick, for better or for worse, was a football lifer. That's not what Kwesi is. So it's sort of an interesting dynamic as well.
I'm gonna push back at you. I'm gonna shove back at you a little bit here now. Okay. Uh-huh. This healthy discussion, this healthy back and forth. I don't want him to have the same general strategy going into every draft. I mean, it seemed like Rick kind of did. Rick was very much, I trade back for multiple bites at the apple because I believe that that is the best way to build a roster. Now, Rick, I think, got hammered a lot more by Vikings fans than he probably deserved because he spent the better part of a decade plus building largely really good rosters. His problem was he wasn't able to pick out the quarterback that could take the Vikings over the top. Like that was, but he had some defenses. He could find some skill position players. But I don't want a general manager that says, this is my draft philosophy every single year, damn it, regardless of how good the player pool is, regardless of where our roster's at. In 2022, now it's one of the worst drafts in Vikings history on paper, and again, there's criticism there, but he thought we need more bites at the apple based on the way that this draft class stacks up. We feel like there's value in the second and third rounds. It's kind of flat after you get past like the 15th pick. So let's move back, get some extra picks, some extra bites at the apple, build our roster. Well, they whiffed on the picks, and
yeah,
there's criticism. But yep. This year, they said, hold on a second. Based on where we're at now, we need a franchise quarterback for the next 10 years, and there's some really good high-end edge rushers and defensive tackles that we also need,
yep.
So let's be on the lookout for those. And the only way to get those guys, J.J. McCarthy and Dallas Turner, was to move up the board, not back the board. So I kind of like that he's been able to look at two different drafts, 2022 and 24, and use two different strategies. Again, he whiffed on the picks in 2022,
well, and that's
so
where
there's criticism.
And that's where I'll push back at you now.
Oh, you're pushing back?
No,
oh,
I'm going to shove.
Back
I'm going to
oh,
shove.
Really?
You're going to shove. I'm
okay.
Going to shove. Where I'll push back at you is I agree. I like this draft. I want to make sure we don't see a repeat of 22, though, where, to use my term again, he got way too cute. He got way too cute. I like this. I like going up. And yes, I know the draft valuers are going to say, well, he gave up, but look at what he gave up. I mean, Dallas Turner's good, but look at what he gave up. I like the conviction here, and I like trying to get impact players. So
but
I
you shouldn't move up every year though, because then you're there's a math game that needs to be played.
Oh,
of like you need to fill out a roster of good
absolutely,
players.
Absolutely, but you should move up in years where it makes sense. And he did it this time, and that's what I like. And do I think it's totally him? No, I think that there's a lot of people that he has to who have a lot more experience doing this that he listens to as well. But I am just fearful that I don't know which Kwesi we're going to get necessarily. And while yes, you don't move up every year, I would be happy if he never pulled the stunt that he did in 22 again to go that far back
and then take a safety, right? Well, like,
yeah, and don't forget, I think it was it Spielman's last draft in his defense that he made that he traded back with the Jets and got Darisaw, but I think he went from like 14 to 21.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, that's cool. But,
Declan,
you know,
do you want to push anyone here? Do you want to push back or
don't you be pushing
sideways?
Me. Don't be pushing me.
Not push back any of you two. It's just I think with Kwesi in general, and we talked about this in the lead up to the draft of which quarterback are they going to take? Which one does KOC really, really want the most? And they'll go from there. It feels like Kwesi is definitely more of the collaborator. He wants to listen to everyone's opinion for right or wrong reasons, right? Like, he wants everyone's opinion, whether that's Ryan Grigson, KOC, scouting department. Like, he wants to listen to everyone's input and then make a answer that question with everyone's input. And sometimes that's good, and sometimes I think that's bad. So sometimes you need a boss to be a boss. And does Kwesi have the traits to be the boss, to make the executive decision without having to require everyone's input to influence his decision? I gather that is who Kwesi is.
I think he did with Dallas Turner. If you watch that clip that the Vikings put out, I mean, remember Kevin O'Connell's O-face. Yeah. He went over to Kevin and said, "We got Dallas Turner," which is him. He clearly wasn't, "Oh, Kevin, do you think we should this, that, the other?" He said, "We got Dallas Turner." And Kevin
and maybe
was
he's
like,
improving
oh,
at this.
Also true.
Like my problem, in fairness to him, remains with his first draft.
Well,
perhaps he's just learned and improving. But among the things, if we were to do a pie chart here, and I was to list things that he's done that have bugged me, the Shaq Griffin comp pick thing would take up a very small slice in my world.
I do have another important Kwesi question, more so for Judd than anyone here in a second. But guys, it's Mother's Day. And hey, the 6% of you that are women that listen to this show or watch this show, and thank you for introducing yourselves to us at the draft party a couple Thursdays ago. It's nice to see the 6% up in the house here. But whoever that special mother is in your life, it could be your mom, it could be your grandmother, maybe it's your wife. Bachman's is here to help you find that perfect gift, maybe that perfect experience for Mother's Day. There's a handful of locations in and around the Twins. You can literally just walk in anywhere in the Twin Cities, a Bachman's, and say, "Help me find a great Mother's Day gift." There's a lot of smart people walking around. Maybe you can rally the kids for a fun project to honor mom, planting a new flower bed or setting up a backyard oasis. I mean, think about the smile that will be put on her face. Maybe you're not even sure what she would love the most. A Bachman's gift card could give her the freedom to choose whatever she wants, whatever catches her eye. Bachman's is here to help with your Mother's Day gift planning. So get out in front. It's early in the week and stop in to a Bachman's in the Twin Cities. It's also lake season here. I think it's officially lake season. We've had some nice 70 and sunny days here, Dex. What should people be using in their lakeside areas?
So if you've been neglecting fixing whatever the bottom is at that lake, and you don't even know what's in there, you don't even want to diagnose what's going on, our friends at Aquaside can help you diagnose and help you get rid and make that nice lake shore a little bit better for you as you step in there off the dock. Okay, so you can go to aquaside.com. They have the Aquaside pellets, which are safe products registered with the EPA and the DNR. Their shipping is also free on their website. So as you get that dock in, as you get the cabin ready for summer, start it with Aquaside. Go to aquaside.com to learn more.
Gentlemen, this question's for Judd, because you're the one, I mean, we've all like poked and have been critical, and that's what we do on this show. Even though we want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die, we're not afraid to,
that's how you get there,
to speak truth and say what needs to be said, even if we're not always right. But you're the one that actually put Kwesi on a hot seat a few months back. Like, you've been the one that's a little more aggressive in saying, "Hey, this is a huge, huge offseason for Kwesi. Yep. His job is much more in jeopardy if he doesn't nail this than Kevin O'Connell's."
And that has been written as well. So that's not just a Zolgadian thing. That's been out there.
Sure. Oh, yeah. It's been reported that.
I am just part of a group that's got hot seat patrol going right now in Kwesi.
So as the hot seat patrolman then, how would you assess the temperature of Kwesi's seat right now after we've gotten through free agency and the draft?
License and registration, please, sir. Do you know how many people that you are drafting? Why don't you step out of the car?
Your third round comp picks. Oh, you only have one? Oh, interesting.
Where's the second one?
What happened to the other one?
I think these comp picks are expired, sir.
Yeah.
Hold tight while I check on your comp picks and registration. I actually, right now, think he's done a good job. Like, I like this. But I don't back off. My point, I think, was and is valid. Now, can we judge this on opening day? of 2024? Absolutely not. So, like, I'm not looking to rush this now. And if the Vikings have a bad September, say, well, that's it. Fire everybody. But, you know, when you are picking a quarterback, when you definitely have some flaws, when you definitely have a draft class that essentially, aside from a couple guys, an entire draft class is not contributing much, which is a detriment. Yeah. First of all, here is, so just to chronologically start this off, here's what I like that Kwesi has done that I'm not sure O'Connell was completely on board with. I think the Cousins decision, no matter how they got there, and I'm sure we could debate about exactly how it played out, and there's probably lots of things we don't know. I think I think O'Connell, deep in his heart, despite what Royce says, would have loved to have kept Cousins. I think somebody, including Kwesi, said, well, at the right price, yes. But one, we're going to tell them that we're going to draft a guy that we would like to replace him. Some of the Falcons didn't have the gonads to do, keep in mind. And two, we are going to draw a line in the sand contractually. We're going to control the contract. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, he left. And sure enough, after a lot of concern, including from me, they got a quarterback that I think we can all agree is a very good chance to be a quarterback here for a long time, which we have all thirsted for. And you can't, there's always going to be danger there. Like, you can't say, well, if JJ McCarthy doesn't work out, it's going to be a shock. Or if he's a success, it's going to be a shock. We don't know. But you are still taking a guy. It's not like you're forcing a pick. It's not like you took a quarterback third round and now you're crossing your fingers. So starting with that, the quarterback thing to me, most important. I was pleasantly surprised, no matter what anyone else says, by the Dallas Turner move. Like, you lost Danielle Hunter, okay? That's a big loss. There's no question. Now, he's not a young man, but he still is coming off a great year. And it was definitely a very key piece in a Brian Flores defense that was at some points held together by duct tape and chewing gum. And you've now replaced in that room, you got Grenard, who's probably not Danielle, but he's younger, and he certainly got upside.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas Turner out of nowhere, who was considered probably the second best defensive player on the entire board. And you seized an opportunity too. You know, this is what I love. You traded up and you seized the opportunity. Van Ginkel was signed. So I think if you look at the totality of what Kwesi has done from a roster construction aspect, I really like this. Do I think it completely removes the hot seat aspect? No. But do I think that it tones down the pressure? Yes. And to go back to a write that down, I gave you guys a month and a half ago or 2 months ago, and I think I said this predicated on if the Vikings drafted a quarterback first round, which they now did. I think there's a very good chance before the season starts that Kwesi and O'Connell get contract extensions beyond, I think, their last year's 2025. So, yes, I like what they've done, and through that, I like what he's done.
I love the focus on just the most important positions, and not to dismiss offensive line and interior defensive line. There's definitely some needs to be filled there too, but the focus on franchise quarterback of the future, enough of that. He made a definitive decision, maybe despite what Kevin O'Connell had wanted, to move off this aging, injured, consistently glass ceiling quarterback into the risky business, quote unquote risky. I think it's risky to not get into the young rookie contract quarterback business, but that's a very definitive fork in the road that he had to make a choice on, and he did. And then to go out and fortify with some good young players at edge, which is the second, the two most important positions of football are the quarterback and the guys who chase the quarterback on defense. And to go in and fill that room and make a move, they've essentially moved up from 43 to 17 when it was all said and done for the eighth or ninth best player on the consensus big boards.
Yeah.
Like people, Thor nailed it, man. Last week on Thursday on a Friday, people are so hung up on how much the Vikings gave up to move up to the 17th pick. It's like, guys, they were moving up for the eighth best player on the consensus board.
Yeah.
Not the 17th pick isn't relevant. It's the player they were moving up to get.
Yes.
That's relevant.
Potential game changer.
So just aggressively going after these pivotal players at pivotal positions. So I spent the first half of the episode nitpicking some of the asset management that we've seen. But in terms of just like hunting for important players at key positions, he's made some really big statements in the last 3 months, and I'm impressed by that.
And let's say for the sake of this discussion, that the eye on the prize, which I think this is realistic, is 2025. Okay. I think you're in a position. Now things have to go right, but you're in a position where 2025 can be a realistic time to open the window and say, this is our go time. You can see now, and I love this, you can see what they're doing. One, they have very specific needs still. But two, while the draft picks that they have for 2025 are not plentiful, the cap space is. So I guess my point is this. If you can go out next year, and let's say you finally go with the Mahkonian plan, you finally go out and you get at least one guard that can kick ass, because you realistically can. Mm-hmm. And let's say you go get a defensive tackle. Okay, because you had cap space. Now, the draft Knicks are going to say, but what about the draft? And I'm not saying the draft's not important. It is. But the difference is, you realistically probably can't. I mean, how many draft picks can you expect to step in for a team that has thrown the window open? A couple maybe, but not at key spots. Yeah. Like a defensive tackle, I want a guy with experience there. So what I really like is, for the first time, I can see the plan formulating. And yes, it might not be the way that everyone agrees with, but if you find a way to get there, that's the most important thing. And that amount of cap space to me next March is the cherry on top of the proverbial potential sundae of a Lombardi trophy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Your cap space next offseason makes up for your lack of draft capital.
Correct.
And then when your cap is probably a little tighter in 2026, because you've signed Justin Jefferson, Christian Darrisaw will be up, and you've got some just like Hockenson's contract still. Well, then you're going to have your full allotment of draft picks back in 2026, two years from now.
I got a question for you guys. So Kwesi infamously said the May after he was hired, Kwesi said, you don't want to go full Rams. I feel in some ways the Vikings are on the verge in a different way quarterback wise, but I feel like the Vikings are positioning themselves maybe to go full Rams. But if you guys win if you see the first Super Bowl championship in Vikings history, do you give a damn?
No.
Yeah.
Me neither.
And by the way, the Rams went full Rams. It worked. They won a Super Bowl. They were kind of bad for like 1 year, and then they were just right back to being in the mix in the playoffs, and they got good young wide receiver over here and some good young defensive players. Like,
that's
my figured out.
And that's my last point about the 2025 trade deadline. What if I give up more picks because I got one more position to fill for a veteran Pro Bowl player?
Yeah. There might be a moment where it makes sense to give up first round picks for 27-year-old studs that are,
sign me up,
coming in as mercenaries.
Sorry.
He's officially off the hot seat for you and into.
Yeah, no, I think he's done. I would give him the ultimate compliment in saying I think he's done exactly what we wanted to see.
Okay. I have a hard count question for you guys here. Where we go around the NFL and football world, presented by our friends at Dennis Kirk. Dennis Kirk is here for riding season. All of you Ragnars out there letting the braids fly in the wind on your motorcycle, your ATV, your UTV, your dirt bikes, revving it up. Well, you can get same-day shipping on over 185,000 parts, apparel, accessories. Well, same-day shipping on orders placed before 8 p.m. Central Time, and free shipping on all orders over $89. They also have a ride finder tool where you can enter your make, model, and year and find parts that will fit your ride in just an instant. Learn more at DennisKirk.com. That's DennisKirk.com. And our friends at Federated Insurance, they've been helping us for a number of years build our business here, and they're here to help you business owners out there who are also Purple Daily listeners. As a business owner, you understand the importance of protecting your reputation, your workplace, the employees, your financial assets. The team at Federated is ready to help your business by creating a custom lineup of industry-specific coverages and risk management services to help you stay on top of your game. Contact your local Federated rep for more information. Find out more at Federated Insurance. NFLBusiness.com, where it's our business to protect yours. Gentlemen, the NFL offseason does not sleep. The schedule release comes out on Thursday night. A little primetime special. Do we know what time that is yet? 7 p.m. maybe?
I don't think they've officially announced the time yet. The last thing I saw was it's coming soon. Oh. Basically, what they're saying is clear your calendar.
It could be tonight. It could be. It could be right now.
It's like that girl you had a crush on in high school, and she says, "I'll go out with you, but I'm not quite sure when. So be prepared."
I might call you. I might never call you. We might never release the schedule.
Yep, that sounds familiar.
You don't know who you're playing. But isn't it incredible? So they're teasing the schedule release here. It's going to be maybe Thursday, right? So we're like almost halfway through May when the schedule comes out. Dude, it's been 3 months since the last game was played, and the NFL has had a stranglehold on all of America here. I guess my hard count question for you guys is,
how much do we love it?
How impressed are you that the NFL can keep us captivated for 10 months out of the calendar at this point?
It's nuts. I mean, the offseason never sleeps. It really doesn't. And even the lulls of mid-June, early July, I would say that's probably the deadest of the NFL offseason, because you're in that awkward phase before training camp and OTAs have wrapped up. And just in general, some people like to kind of get away for 4th of July and that time of year to take time off. But outside of 3 of the 52 weeks out of the year, you got something going on. You have absolutely something going on to look forward to once a week. It's insane.
Yeah, and for Vikings fans, so they've got rookie mini camp on Friday, and I get that they don't like let fans in until training camp. You can go watch, but you can watch JJ McCarthy at training camp starting in the last week in July. Mm-hmm. But you're going to get updates from guys like the Sports Dad, who are going to be able to get credentialed access to some of these off-season events, OTAs, mini camps. So you're going to be able to follow the progress of a franchise quarterback in the works in late May, June. So it's crazy. What is the current Mount Rushmore of the NFL calendar? Like, what are the four events for you guys on the NFL calendar?
My George Washington, personally, and I know a lot of people disagree with this, is free agency.
Oh, that's number one. That's number one
for me.
Above any games, above Championship Sunday.
Oh, I thought you were talking about outside of games. Okay, I'm sorry.
Let's open up the whole calendar.
Okay. I still love free agency.
Free agency's in the Mount Rushmore. I don't know if it's the George Washington, but it might be the Abe Lincoln.
No. You know what my thing now is? It used to be Championship Sunday. I think I'm now a divisional round guy.
Yeah, divisional rounds. Firmly in mind. That's my favorite weekend of the year from a football standpoint. Divisional round's the best.
Could we put pre-Super Bowl playoffs as one thing? Like if we're making
playoffs.
Things that you could, if this was like an NFL calendar draft.
Okay. So here's my one thing. I will warn you, and I think that you guys will vehemently disagree with me. The Super Bowl's not on my list.
Let's do a draft right now. Let's do a snake draft right now.
It's just one game, and it always feels I love the multiple playoff days.
Judd, you get the number. Let's anything and everything. So everything stands on its own. Championship Sunday stands on its own. Division round weekend. Okay. The entire NFL calendar. Judd gets the number one pick. Dex gets the number two pick. I'll draft third, and then
divisional round.
We'll do snake draft here. So the number one thing on the NFL calendar for you is divisional round.
I love the divisional round.
Wow.
Okay. I'm going to take the draft then.
Okay. Wow.
Take the draft.
Number two. Let's
I'm
going to
take the draft too then.
I don't agree with you, but I think that that's very solid.
Yeah.
I got to take Championship Sunday, I guess. I didn't know if it was going to be sitting there at number three, but I used to
like it a lot more.
Oh, but I get two picks. I get two picks.
The divisional round's so good now. Okay.
So I'm going to go Championship Sunday, and then I'm going to go free agency.
Oh, see, that's why. Yeah, I love that.
Okay.
Next one for me, I'll just, you know what, give me week one. Your team's finally back playing football. You've
Thursday
waited for like 7-8 months. Yeah,
Thursday.
NFL. Yeah. NFL week one. Everything. And
we get a Friday
night
this year, right? Packers and Philadelphia.
In Brazil,
right?
Yeah, I think so. So NFL Week One, I will take with my second round pick.
Okay. Judd rounding out the second round. We'll do it. This is a 3-round draft. So impromptu.
All right. So free agency is gone.
Yeah, you can do anything. You could do training camp. You could do Super Wild Card Weekend. No one's drafted the Super Bowl yet.
I'm not drafting the Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl.
I'm not drafting that.
Don't get cute, Quasi.
Yeah. No. I don't think, trade back.
There's no trading back.
Primetime schedule release.
Dex is right on.
How about the second wave of free agency?
Well, wait. Is legal tampering or did you take the actual start?
I think free agency like the
is legal tampering.
The first week of free agency. You could go combine where all the rumors start coming out.
No, you know what?
I'm passing.
No. I am going schedule release. Primetime.
You're going schedule release over Super Bowl.
I love the schedule.
Well, you get two picks.
You know all of the teams, but you don't know the order, and the order is going to matter. Really, having the teams available and then having them come into view is almost, because it's like, if this is the permeation of my mock schedule, this team could be great, but if, oh my God.
Okay. Now, third round, Judd, you get back-to-back picks here. This is your final pick in the NFL calendar draft.
I'm not a Super Bowl guy. I can't do it. Super Wild Card Weekend.
Okay. I don't hate that, actually, because you get all of the games. You get like seven games or six.
I love multiple game days. The Super Bowl is so much pregame show, and then you get a game.
We're in the third round, man. Like, this is
value. I'm an addict. I need more.
I'll take the Super Bowl. This is no problem. This fell to me. This was a fall.
Remarkably.
The Super Bowl put a gas mask on, and I got it with my last pick. So yeah, Super Bowl for me.
So okay, I'm trying to see what's left. We got division wild cards. So we got all the playoff rounds are taken.
There's a couple good.
The draft has been taken. Free agency
season stuff right now.
So, I think you're missing Thanksgiving. No one's mentioned it. There you go.
Yeah. I'm, you know what, dude, last year, my wife and I decided, we're like, what should we do for Thanksgiving? And my wife, we went to that Circa Sportsbook in Old Town Vegas. If I could just relive that literally every Thanksgiving of my entire life.
Yeah.
Let's go Thanksgiving football.
There you go.
Okay. I love it, dude. I'm going to have Jeremiah and Alex do this too. I'll report back to see what the results are, but there it is. So here's the draft. This is the NFL calendar draft. With the number one overall pick, Judd took the divisional round. Then it went Declan taking the draft. Then I took Championship Sunday and free agency. Declan took week one. Judd took the schedule release. Then Judd took Super Wild Card Weekend. Declan took the Super Bowl. And then I took Thanksgiving. So Declan has the draft, week one, and the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Judd has divisional round, schedule release, and Super Wild Card Weekends. So you just have like the most playoff games. You just get to watch a bajillion playoff games.
I'm gorging myself. It's sloth.
And then I get Championship Sunday, free agency, and Thanksgiving football.
Let's go. Right there, boys.
And we still had like Christmas now because Christmas has become.
I know.
And that Christmas thing is unbelievable.
Actually, we might have just stumbled into a new weekly segment here. Send us things that you want us to draft as part of Purple Daily, and we will draft those things. We got to go because we have a taping with our friend Trevor Plouffe. If you're a baseball fan, a Twins fan, the Score North Twins show is on fire these days because the Twins keep winning. New YouTube channel, the Score North Twins show YouTube channel, and you can find the Score North Twins show with our beat podcaster Declan on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. So check us out there. Flagrant Howls, Judd's Hockey Show. It's a busy time here to be a Minnesota sports fan. We'll see you guys for Write That Down Wednesday tomorrow.